Hi everyone, welcome to the second episode of Bag is Back podcast. And the Bag is Back podcast is a podcast where we speak to people, you know, casually about their careers and get to know, you know, more about them, how they got into their careers, and, you know, any tips and advice for anyone, you know, out there looking to get into the career. So today we have with us Tonia. So welcome.
Thank you, Nifer.
Yeah, and you know, before we just get to like intros and everything, I want us to play a round of categories.
Let's go.
And then the winner, what would the winner get? Okay. We'll do that.
Okay.
All right, so we'll play three rounds of categories.
Okay. Are you playing with me or it's just me?
No, it's just you. So you know how we get, just you. We'll go back and forth to best of three.
Okay, let's
best
go.
Best of three.
Bag is back. Are we ready?
Ready. Let's give some shuffle so there's no
Ojoro.
Yeah. All right. So the first category is superheroes fiction.
I should list some.
Yeah. So we'll start. So I'll start, then you go. Whoever stops. Okay. Starting, Action Man.
Superwoman.
Spider-Man.
Wonder Woman.
Captain America.
Captain Nigeria. Okay.
I'm Captain Nigeria.
Yeah. We should have a captain. Don't we already have a captain? Fouls. Is our captain.
Okay, so one for me. I'm leading you.
Okay.
So, yeah, turn.
So do I start?
Yeah, you start with this round, yeah.
The category is one syllable word. Word.
Should we let's go for another category?
Yeah,
that one sounds like too much English. Yeah. All right.
I love this one. The category is vegetable, lettuce,
carrot,
spinach,
bitter leaf,
beans.
Beans? No. Beans is a legume.
It's a veggie mix. It can be
here
vegetable.
You go. Let's check.
Oh God. Yeah, it's a vegetable one.
Beans?
Nah, it's seed.
Ha. We'll give you this one.
If I fail, it's okay. I still got my bag.
We'll give you this one. Okay. This one. A category is spices and condiments.
Okay.
So all of them, you know. Already. So I'm starting. Pepper.
Salt.
Cinnamon.
Curry.
Thyme.
Black pepper.
Green pepper.
Rosemary.
Jamaican bell pepper.
Orago. I think the strategy is to take it slow. Give it to me. I'm a woman. How do you think you can beat me in this? You can't.
Yeah, so two out of three. You are the winner of this. So I owe you one. So best of three. So I owe you one. You know, mocha.
Thank you. Let's cheers.
Yeah, just
cheers.
All right, so we'll get to the pod now.
Great.
Let's just put this, you know. You have bragging rights now.
Yes, I came ready. I didn't come here to play. I came to get my bag.
Oshé, love it.
Bye.
All right. I'll just put this here for anybody looking to know more.
For branding.
All right. So let's get started with the pod. So welcome once again.
Thank you.
Welcome and thanks for beating me in categories.
Of course.
So right now what we want to know is, you know, we want to know about you. You know, I've introduced you. She's Tonia. And you know, Tonia is an economist. But you know, I don't want to be from my mouth. I want to hear from the, you know, from her mouth. So
definitely.
Can you give us a quick background into who you are and what you do?
For sure. So thank you, Nifemi. Thank you, Bag is Bag, for inviting me. As he said, my name is Tonia. Some people call me Tonto of Toronto just because I'm fab like that. I have a bachelor's in economics from Covenant University, where I finished with a first class. It's not easy, so I have to talk about that. Yeah. Round of applause. Yeah. And I do have my master's in economics from Concordia University. So prior to coming to Canada in 2018, I worked with the Central Bank of Nigeria.
Oh.
So there I did a lot of economic research with the monetary policy department. you're basically conducting economic research, trying to help inform decisions that would lead to the monetary policy rates.
Okay.
As at then, that was in 2017, the rate was 14%. With our research, we were able to keep it at 14% because that was what's best for the economy.
Is this like investment, like, you know, like how much people can get from investing in Nigeria or Naira?
No, okay. So this is the rates, the interest rate, the official interest rate,
okay.
Which banks would then use to borrow people.
Oh, I see. Yeah. 14% is a lot.
Yeah, it's, now it's 22. What are you talking? It's 22 now.
Okay.
You know, so after that, I worked with a company called Mobile Forms. Now they changed it to CrowdForce.
Okay.
So it's Africa's largest crowdsourcing data company. So they have field agents everywhere in Nigeria and some parts of Africa.
Okay.
So we have companies like consumer goods companies, mm-hmm. like Indomie, governments coming to ask for data. So we train our agents on the different projects,
okay.
and help them. So we had like an app where they would collect the data from. So it was called Mobile Phone. I don't know if you've changed it, but basically it's an app. You train the agents, they take that app, go and interview people,
okay.
and get data. So that was an amazing experience. That was my first startup experience. So
did you go on the field to go and get data?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I did see. Travel to Ogun State. I schooled them. I never traveled there, but with this project, I traveled to Ogun State. I traveled to Aba. I went to the market. I was on the bike, you know. The roads were very bad, but I'm happy now. Yeah. I hear the governor is doing great work there. So shout out to the new governor of the state. So after coming to Canada, doing my master's, I did involve in a lot of extracurricular. If you know me, I always have my extracurriculars because it helps me be a better person. After school, I worked with an economic development consulting firm. Basically, what we did was, if a business wants to come into a new economy or a new country, there are organizations that help that process smooth. So it's called like business recruitment. So we represented those organizations, that's the economic development organizations, and helps them in attracting businesses to their region. I represented places like Waterloo, South Carolina, Norway, and we're reaching out to American businesses and seeing if they were interested in moving to Toronto or places in Canada. And likewise, I reached out to companies within US and tried to see if they were willing to move to South Carolina, Ohio. So it's a lot of sales, it's a lot of market research, it was a lot of communication. Definitely a good experience because you're calling the phone at your team.
Some people
like, never call me again. Some people be like, oh, I want to hear more. But it was funny because you read the same script and you get different reactions.
Okay.
So that really helps me know how to communicate, how to set targets and hit them, and really understand market research and how different economies work, the kind of incentives that are available for people, for businesses who want to move to different regions.
So you mentioned like a couple about research.
Yes.
You know, as an economist, is that what you
the main
primarily
function?
Do?
Yes. So as economists, your main function is economic research.
Okay.
What I did with this company was market research. So you're looking at the, like, you're, for example, Ohio. You're looking at the Ohio economy. Ohio is known for tech. They have like tech grounds where they produce robots.
Yeah.
Where they have like a whole innovation ground, right? I think even aviation, they're very strong, the aviation industry. So you're studying economies, understanding their strengths, and you're kind of pitching it to people who want to grow in those industries. For example, Norway. Norway is good with climate change. Like, they're one of the most sustainable countries in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be reaching out to Canadian companies who are in biogas, who are in hydrogen,
to
explore, because those countries have incentives to encourage innovation in clean energy, right? So that was the whole concept of market research. But economic research, what I did with the central bank was, you're reading economic reports, like you get data and you're analyzing the data to help inform policy decisions. So that's a different type of research.
So you know what's happening with like inflation now and where, you know, they are trying to like increase, you know, the rates so that they can curb inflation. Would that be similar to what you're doing? Like you're going to, in CBN, like you just study Nigeria, study what's happening, and then determine what rates to put there. Like,
So all those things influence the rates. So for inflation, for example, there's something called core inflation, right?
Okay.
That is a model. It has some core things that we look at. So you look at the prices of goods in the market, prices of fuel. You look at all those things and determine if there has been an increase. So the point of inflation, inflation is when things are getting more, rising prices, right? And for you to read, so, okay, let's step back.
Let's step back. But what I'm thinking in my head now is that, like, it's a lot of work because it's not just one good. There are, like, millions of goods.
Yes.
There are millions of services. There are millions of companies. There are millions of... Because you'll also be looking at, even in these companies, you'll be looking at employee data.
Yes.
You'll be looking at pay.
Yes.
How do they split you people into doing all this work? Like, and, you know, where were you, like, in particular? Were you in a... in a particular industry, in a particular goods like market, or in a particular like section?
Good question. So we had a statistics department.
Okay.
Those guys had people on ground who we all, you can even collaborate with companies to give you their data.
Oh yeah.
Like how many people have been employed from month to month, right? Oh. So they go to the markets, they talk with those people, how much is your imports? Like how much are you paying to import these goods? What are you pricing it now?
Okay.
So they collect all that data and give it to us.
Okay.
And then we as the monetary policy department would then review that data, put it in our models, and say, okay, inflation rose by 10%.
Oh, okay, okay.
From January to March, right? Things like that. So there's a data gathering process that I wasn't part of, but we do use secondary data from our statistics team to then inform those decisions.
Oh,
so
okay.
As economists, we have our models. It's like Excel, right? You put all the data in Excel, and then you put it in the model, and it calculates for you, and then you can do like the average and get what the number is.
Yeah.
But I wasn't involved in that whole rough modeling process.
Okay.
Most times, the numbers are crunched for us, and then we just write.
You just use
we
your
do
insights.
The trend analysis. Yeah. What is actually causing X to go up? What's actually causing Y to go up? Things like that.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of thinking.
But after school, like I as I said, I worked with this economic development firm, and afterwards I got a job with one of the big five banks here in Canada.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
You tell us, you know, more about what you do. But I want to know like your philosophy to going into economics in the first place. Like,
I love
you know,
that.
For
yeah.
someone like me, I'm a computer scientist, and that was what was available in terms of computing then, like when I was trying to make my decision.
Yeah.
It's not like I was like, oh, I see my career path, I'm going there. So, and you know, we're like really young then before you enter into undergrad.
Yeah.
But was it like very, you know, strict for you, or like were you, you know, did you just stumble upon it, or were you like, that's my first choice? Like,
so the way I am is I'm a very empathetic person. I can remember growing up in Nigeria. I was born in Lagos.
Okay.
Oh, but so that same year, my family moved to Abuja, which is the same.
Abuja,
rise up. So I can remember growing up, and I'm going to school, and I would see children just hawking.
Okay.
And I'm like, why are they not in school? You have hospitals, and people are dying. I saw a lot of economic inequality. I'm happy that my parents were okay, that they could provide for us. But I was just, why are people poor? Why are people rich? Why are people dying? And I always had that burden in my heart, right?
Okay.
So going through school, economics was explaining how things work. And I was like, okay, so if I can do economics, then I can be able to understand how to create policies to help the layman on the street. That was my motivation. I didn't like the inequality I saw. I didn't like that I was going to school and the Hausa girl was hawking, or she's getting married at 12.
That's so profound.
I know. So that was literally my motivation.
Okay.
And then I knew I did not like maths. Oh my God, I did not like maths.
But you have to still...
That was my fear. I was so afraid of mathematics. I don't know. Because my mother was like, okay, do accounting or economics. My mom, OG, shout out mommy, I love you. She was like, I have friends that do accounting. Let me bring them to come talk to you. And when they were talking about, I was like, nah, this is not for me. Numbers, I hate numbers. Why are you bringing numbers to me?
Right.
And then she brought one of her friends that worked in CBN. And...
Oh.
She was just telling me about economics, the analysis, the policy. I'm like, this is what I want. I was like, but ma, the mathematics, she's like, it's just numbers that you're playing around with. It's not that deep. And that stuck with me. It really changed my perspective on mathematics. And I went into school.
Yeah.
I knew mathematics was something I struggled with. So I used to pair up with some of the smartest girls in class. We still have our group chat, Powder Puff Girls. So shout out to you guys. And
we're from
Covenant.
Okay, from,
yeah. So yeah. She, this particular girl, her name's Ekene, my rabbi. I call her my rabbi. She's so smart. Like, she just knew stuff. So I used to pair up with her. And okay. Because I knew I needed to invest time in mathematics so I can be better.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So that was how, you know, I flipped it. And I mean, how I got that first class is really by the grace of God. But it came with a lot of investment of time in studying, right? Yeah. And that was my motivation for economics. And I'm happy right now. I'm not practicing as a core economist. I'm doing more applied economics.
Oh, okay.
Because in my role now with the bank, I did join as a commercial banker.
Okay.
So we had this rotational program in commercial banking.
Yeah.
I just knew that I wanted to help businesses because I feel like businesses are a way to really grow the economy. So if you can support businesses, they will employ more people
and
the economy will flow. So like the best way to do this is to support businesses. So commercial banking is basically, you're supporting businesses, right?
Yeah.
So I did a rotation in that with the bank for a year.
So you're more free market kind of person. Like you subscribe to that kind of
support them, give them the resources, of course put regulations to make sure there's no monopoly, oligopoly and stuff, but they are the way. All the companies are working their businesses.
Government's
not giving you nothing. They're taking your taxes. You know, so right now I'm in the bank. I'm working as a credit risk manager.
Okay.
And basically what we do is when the bankers submit those loan requests, business loan requests, we analyze the requests, make sure that they can pay us back our money because we don't want to lose money, do a lot of analysis just to make sure that they can repay the loan.
A credit score but for business.
Yes, we do give them a rating. We do give them a rating. Yeah.
I want you to remind me, you know, still going back to your motivation, like remind me that high school definition of economics.
Economics is the study of scarce resources.
Economics. Supply and demand. I can't really remember.
That's supply and demand theory. That's different. The freehand of supply and demand.
Yeah.
But I think if you ask me what economics is, it's really finding ways to utilize scarce resources.
Okay. Only scarce resources.
We talk about scarce resources, money. Right.
Well, money is scarce.
Money is bola. is scarce.
Not for me, no.
I mean
generally.
Bag is bag. He has the bag, you guys. But that's economics. You're trying to effectively maximize scarce resources to produce optimal results.
Okay.
That is economics, right? Obviously you're using trends, you're using data analysis, you're using research to really understand, this economy has a budget.
Okay.
How can we effectively allocate resources to education, healthcare, businesses to ensure that they produce optimal results? Because money is a scarce resource. And applying economics in your life is the same. You have 24 hours in a day. How can you effectively use those 24 hours to sleep, rest,
get
the bag, so that you can make your life the most optimal? Or be the best version of yourself.
That's true. Time is scarce.
So there are three resources.
Okay.
Time, money, and quality. In terms of quality, it can be, this is more of project management. It's like quality of I don't say quality of life, but
like
quality of the output, exactly. We can say quality of output, but it's three, right? It's a triangle: quality, time, resources. If you're doing a project, you have to choose: are we trying to get the best quality product, or are we trying to maximize our time, do it fast, or are we trying to reduce costs?
Okay.
So I think it's cost, not money. Money costs. So
cost to output ratio, the most optimize the cost to get the best outputs.
Yes.
Okay.
So
oh, sweet.
That's the trunk, but this project is not economics, okay? But you can also, you can, you know, put that in economics. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Across, you know, you've mentioned 4 companies now. And across the 4 companies, I think what I've been able to grab the most is that, like, you're getting data.
Yes.
And then using that data based on what you know from economics, like using that data to, you know, create your own insight and then better advise the business.
Correct.
What to do. What's like the hardest part of your job? Quickly, before we even go to how, you know, how you can enter into this career path, you know, at after how you can enter into the career path and what career paths are like open to, what career paths are open to, you know, people in economics. But, you know, what's like the difficult thing about your role?
I would say identifying the gaps.
Okay.
Because that is the main thing, right? So for credits, a business will come, oh, give me loan. Okay, give me your financial statements.
Yeah.
Give me your insurance document. You know, give me your statements of operations. Let me see the way you manage money. You have to look at those documents critically.
Okay.
To find gaps. And I think that's what economics teaches us. All those data you see, all those traits, for you to find gaps and then fix and question it.
Okay.
So when I take, for example, maybe we've given this company a loan and they were doing their annual review year over year. I'm looking for gaps. When I can't find a gap, then I know there's a problem. There has to be a gap.
Yeah.
Even if there's no gap, there should be something that will be like, huh. If I cannot find that, then I'm not really looking at it critically.
I see.
So my manager will ask me, okay, so what's the problem with this file? There's no problem. No, honey, there's a problem.
Yes. Oh,
go
yeah.
and look for the problem. And sometimes you're like, oh my God. So if there's no problem, fine. How can you justify there's no problem? So that's the hardest part of the job.
Okay.
And I think that is the critical thinking that is required as a risk manager. Even as a banker, even in any career, like, identify the gaps and create a solution
create something
to it.
For it. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
It's general across, you know, careers, but I'll see one skill that you need to have is, like, attention to detail.
Correct.
Like, your attention to detail has to be through
good.
The roof.
Yeah.
Is that something that would be inborn to the person in an economics-related role or... it's something you can like learn over time.
It's something that you train.
We call
it spider senses.
Oh, wow.
You get training via experience, via curiosity.
Okay.
It's something you train. And I think that's what the education we have in economics teaches us. All those graphs, all those theories, you're training your senses so that when you can see a problem, you go, this is off.
Okay.
And then you can... So it's not...
Just attack.
I mean, if they burn you with the spider...
Yeah.
Thank God for
I
you.
I think some people are like, you know, they're
Yeah, some people have high IQ, have the eyes that like you, my
friend. I'll take it. I'll take it.
But
thank
for
you.
Me, I had to train myself. I'm a product of hard work.
Oh, okay.
I had to train. I told you I didn't know maths. I was struggling. So I had to train myself
on that.
To be good on this. But at the same time, I do know I have a lot of strengths. Like, I know research.
Yeah.
I'm always curious. I like to ask questions. I like to push. But these things, you can learn it. You can train yourself. A doctor, are they born doctors? No. You go for 6 years training.
Yeah.
So it can be lent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So people, you know, you've obviously interviewed for roles.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, through your, those 4 companies, like, are those the only companies you've interviewed with, like, so far? And I want to know, like, I just want to get into something casual, like, what was the hardest interview for you? And, you know, what do you typically expect in interviews for economics related roles?
Yeah. So as you know, after masters,
you're
gonna be interviewing a lot because you're finding the right job for you.
Yeah.
But I would say the job, when I got the job with the present bank, I mean, that was, it's something I had to prepare diligently for, right? I would not say it was the most difficult because it was an entry-level role. Entry-level, they just want to see that you're curious, you're eager to learn, you're willing to learn, right? But it's when you're applying for senior-level roles that they'll be drilling you because you're like an expert in that.
Yeah.
So Do you want me to talk about the kind of questions for credits that they would ask?
The kind of questions, okay. And I kind of like sense that, you know, you'll be dealing with a lot of case questions, like case, like, oh,
yes, can you, you're 100% correct. See, okay, your IQ is very high. Okay, so I'll walk the audience through that. So typically for a credits interview, when I say credits as per banking side, risk side, because there are two sides, right? Those who talk with the clients bring their deals, and you who is adjudicating. So for the banking side, if you're in credit or you're interested in credit, you should know the 5 C's of credits. Do you know what that is?
No, not at all. 5 C's is a lot. There's only one.
You should know the 5 C's of credit. That is your manual in answering any credit question. Okay? So the 1st C is character. What is the character of your borrower? Are they people who are experienced in the industry? Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, let me back. So imagine if a company comes and asks you for a loan.
Okay.
You're an investor.
Okay.
Oh, Nifemi, I want Back to Bag to give me $1 million. You use the 5 C's of credit. So let's work with it. Mm-hmm. The 1st C is, what is the character of this borrower? Okay, so you're in the, say, construction industry. Mm-hmm. How long have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been bankrupt? If I check Google, are you in the news for doing something shady?
KYC type stuff.
KYC, you're trying to see the character of the borrower, right? Do they have experience? What education do they have, right? Did they work in companies before starting their business, to know the expertise level of the management team, right? Mm-hmm. The second would be the capacity. When I say capacity, what is your capacity to pay back the loan?
Okay.
This is where we ask for your financial statements. Give me your analysis reports. You're looking at how that company, the construction company, has been doing year over year. How many buildings have you built, right?
Okay.
What's your portfolio like?
Okay.
Are you making money? Are you not making money? Uh-huh. How much are your shareholders drawing from the business? What are you using that dividend for, right? You're trying to understand their capacity to pay back the loan. Mm. And we use a lot of financial ratios for this.
Okay.
Basically, we have liquidity ratios, solvency ratios, profitability ratios, efficiency ratios, depending on the company. So that one is something that if you're new to credit, you have to learn. I had to learn that as well. Okay, so you have to learn all those financial ratios, because that's what you use to play with the numbers and see if that business is within the industry standard.
Oh, okay.
Right, and then the next C is collateral.
Okay.
If I give you this loan, will you give me one building?
Oh yeah.
Will you give me your equipment?
Sweet.
So you would, what is the collateral you're willing to offer to get $1 million from you?
Okay.
Right? I think that's very self-explanatory. The next C is the conditions. What is the market condition for that industry? Construction industry is very risky. You see what's going on in Toronto. Many pre-cons are falling.
They are taking our money a lot. Like, I think they are doing well.
They are not doing well. Because it's a heavy capital industry.
Okay.
You need equipment. You need workers. It's very risky. That's why you see most construction companies are like conglomerates.
They are
big, like this building now is, you know, by one of them, it's big, like, so it's a very risky industry. Why can you guess why the construction industry is very risky? When you think about imputes, how do they get cement? How do they get
all these raw materials? Like, is it like, are they diminishing
so now
raw materials it's like scarce to get, or like you can only get it from like very specific places, you know,
exactly.
Like in Nigeria, limestone is mostly only concentrated in like Kogi State.
Yes.
So if you wanted to like get that, like how would you like distribute it to like different places? Maybe
cost of raw material. Okay. Exactly, 100%. That's what supply chain disruption. Because most times you're importing those products, right? Yeah. That's why it's very risky, because price of gold will increase in a second. Price of limestone in a second. Granite. And then you've already said this project is 1 million. And now price has doubled.
Okay.
So it's a very volatile industry. So you need to understand that and kind of understand what the mitigation tools are for that. Do they have hedges, you know? And the last C is capital.
Okay.
You guys asking me for a loan, how much do you have in the business? How much equity do you have? Because if you're in the business and you don't put money in your business, why should I give you money? You're not serious. But if you see this, the balance sheet, and you see, okay, these people actually are injecting money to the business, it shows you that they have skin in the game. They are committed.
Yeah.
And
they
I believe their money where their mouth is, right? Exactly. Yeah. And with that, you can be able to say, okay, I would give you the loan, but I will not give you the loan.
I see. I'm now trying to relate this with, like, you know, small companies. I don't know. Are you more focused on large companies, medium or small?
Mid. So mid-markets. Mid-market companies. But this analysis applies to all.
Even to people that are just starting.
If you're giving low, you will use these 5 C's. Yeah, it applies to all.
But something like capital. How will capital change for, like, a small business?
So in terms of capital, we're looking at how much do you invest in your business, right? If you started a business now for 5 years, okay, all your revenue every year is zero. $5K over 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay, how much are you asking? If you're asking for $20, I can give you $20. If you're asking for $1 million, I can't give you $1 million because your money, it cannot support. But if I see you're a small business, over 5 years, you've made like $10,000, and you're asking me for $2,000, I will give you the credit card. I will give it to you because I can see you can pay it back.
Yeah.
The main thing is, can you pay back? Because in terms of credit risk is really what is the probability of loss if this business does not pay back. So sometimes in our analysis, sometimes the business will come and say, oh, give us $1 million. We do the numbers that you can't afford $1 million. We'll give you 800 because we are sure per our analysis you can pay $1 million down. Some people will come and say, oh, give me a 5-term loan for XXX. I will check, and maybe, for example, a real estate holding company, I should say, can come and say, oh, can you give us a $1 million loan?
Okay.
And I'm looking at your leases. All your leases are expiring in 5 years.
Yeah.
But you want me to give you a loan for 10 years. I'm not going to give you a loan for 10 years. I'll give you a loan for 3 years.
Okay.
Because I want to see how you perform in 3 years, and then you can renew for another 3 years, you know? Or I can give you a loan for 5 years because all your leases are expiring in 5 years. I don't want that. Your leases have expired, I'm still giving you a loan. No. Those are some risk mitigation tools and techniques that we use just to make sure we protect our capital. Because it's a money business, right? The way we make money is we charge you interest on those loans.
Yeah.
So you want to look for ways to mitigate the risk of defaults.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I want to go a little bit into your central bank experience. And
that was a long time ago. But yeah, let's go.
And I know you didn't, like, you know, go into... reserve, because you've touched on banking, and I feel like, you know, there's something called, like, you know, that's why it's called like the Federal Reserve or something.
Yeah.
CBN is actually a Federal
Reserve.
It's
the Bank of Banks, yeah.
Yeah, and there's something called like reserve banking, and reserve banking kind of like informs this, like, how loans are given.
Correct.
And how much loans, like, banks can give.
Correct.
Did you do anything in relation to that, and you know, what's like an economist input in all of that, in that process, like determining how much of people's money that are stored in banks, how much can banks keep, and how much can banks loan, and can banks loan more than what they have? Because it seems like they are loaning more than what they have, but do you have to look at those numbers too, like, before you now give business
a commercial bank
loan? Yeah.
That's a very good question. So first things first, you did ask about if I did that. I did not do that specifically.
Okay.
But I can answer the question because I know about it, right? Because they taught us in school. And I read about that recently. So at Central Bank, what I did was I worked with the Monetary Policy Department. And that department was in charge of determining the monetary policy rate. This rate is the rate at which banks will lend money to businesses. It's the minimum rate because when you go to a bank for a loan, they'll charge you the prime rates. In Canada now, it's prime is 7.2. Yeah. So they'll charge you prime plus 2. Prime plus 3%.
Yeah.
Prime plus 5%, yeah. Right? So we helped in determining what that prime rate would be via research. You do your research. You say, okay, should we increase it? Should we? Right now, Canada, Bank of Canada just released the last rates and they kept it the same, right? So the key rate now is 5%. So they're leaving it at 5%, which is good because the economy is really shaking, right? So I helped in informing that decision by research.
Okay.
So in terms of what you're talking about, it's called the reserve ratio.
Oh, yeah.
So how it works is, let's use Canada because that's the economy I'm very familiar with now. So what happens is every commercial bank in Canada would keep a percentage of deposits with the central bank, which in this case Bank of Canada, right? So every money you have a percentage with the bank.
Okay.
Bank of Canada has like, I think, I don't want to give the wrong information, but I think it's around the capital reserve ratio. So the more they increase the ratio, say from 8 to 10%, that means commercial banks will have less money to keep and loan people.
Okay.
So the way that ratio affects the economy is, if the Bank of Canada wants to contract the economy, like if there's a lot going on, inflation is good, they want to make things tight, right? Yeah. So prices will come down, right? If prices are so up, everybody, you know, and they want to make the prices to go down, which is what they are doing now, they increase the rates of that reserve ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So the commercial banks, they are getting deposits, but they have to keep more money with them. So they have less money to loan.
Okay.
And what do they do because they have less money? The price of loans will increase.
Oh, so
because you're taking from my scarce resource, right? So that's, so if, for example, the economy is low, nobody's buying anything, the Bank of Canada will say, okay, let us reduce the reserve ratio.
Okay.
Give the commercial banks more money so they can loan more money and boost the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that particular instrument works. And it's a central bank or federal bank or central bank instruments to affect money supply and demand in the economy.
That makes sense. Thank you so much for that wonderful explanation.
Thank you.
It's so good. You know your work so much. You know your work so much. Like it's really good and impressive to see.
Thank you.
So we're going to switch gears a little bit and we're going to talk about Tonya's other bag, which is Womb Economics. So we're going to, you know, talk more about that. And Womb Economics is like women in economics, and you know, Tonya started that to sort of advise women in economics, like what fields they can go into, how to just, you know, support, you know, women in that field. And you know, speaking about this, we're recording this episode the day after International Women's Day.
Yes, yeah. Happy Women's Day to all our ladies out there. Show up, keep showing up. That's how we inspire inclusion.
That's good. But I wanted to, you know, you've shared some of your philosophy behind Womb Economics with me, but you know, for our audience, I want to know, and we want to know, like, what was your inspiration behind, you know, starting that? What it does? Just tell us about that. Like,
definitely, I appreciate the opportunity to share. So, Womb Economics was founded in March of 2023. So we're just like 1 year old now.
Yes. So you started it like
March last year. Yeah, that's when I registered the company.
Ah,
so it started by myself and Wumi. Wumi is my co-founder, so it's not just me. But basically,
shout out to Wumi.
So basically, what we're trying to do is, Wumi and I both studied economics. She was in the bachelor's level at Concordia University in Montreal.
Okay.
I was at the master's level. And I used to find that we didn't really have career events. But those in the finance business school, they had events, right? So we as economy students had to be going to like the normal university events, while those in the finance, they had like McKinsey, Deloitte, banks coming to hunt for them. And I'm like, why are they not hunting for us? So every time I go for those events, I'll be seeing Wumi. I say, this girl, you know? And after school, I was so confused because you, and I think all my economists out there will relate to this. You can do so much with your degree. So I didn't know whether I wanted to do consulting, banking, government work. At the point, I was even thinking of being an ambassador, diplomat. Like, I felt like I could, operations analyst. There's no analyst. I look at this analyst.
Yeah.
I will analyze it, you know? So I was so confused, and I knew I had to network with people. I had to network, talk to people to understand what they did. I remember talking with some consultants, and a common trend was, oh, you won't have time. You won't have time for anything. I'm like, no, I want a career where I will have time, you know? So from talking to people, I started knowing this, what I like. I used to ask about what kind of analysis they did. And this just helped me to make a better decision for myself. So what WOM Economics is doing now is we're an organization out here for the girls and the men, but more of the girls. Just to really help them understand what their career options are after school and providing a supportive community to help you through that process, right? So we have podcasts that we release where we interview different people who did economics or related field and what they are doing now, so you can have insights to the kind of work, the industry, and the analysis needed. You know what the interview process is like, things like that would give you that information. And we also are looking to have a conference in the near future, you know. We're looking at also having a mentorship program for students separately and for young professionals separately. We think our community as economists, we don't have the most supportive community. They just, other people have their community, they have finance, they have tech. We don't have anything for economics.
Is this because it's not easy to really define where an economics can be placed?
Because we can do everything. And WOM Economics knows we can do everything. That's why we're trying to capitalize on that.
Okay.
And tell people you can do everything. If you did economics, you don't need to do research. My co-founder is doing tech. She was the best in economics in her whole set. But she's doing tech, project management, or product management, one of them. You know, so we're here to tell you what your options are and create a very supportive community for that.
That's cool.
So check out our podcast on Spotify, WOM Economics Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Women in Economics, or you can type WOM Economics and you would find us. Stay connected, even on LinkedIn as well, and see our content, our resources. We're hoping to do more and more, so get involved and stay connected.
Cool. For your platform now, you know, what are some things you're looking forward to doing that can, you know, bring this community together? How is the community even shaping up? How did you get like your first set of audiences, and then what are you looking forward to like get build more audience?
That's a great question. So, WOMI. Actually had this idea, Women in Economics, right?
Okay.
And when she had the idea, she opened an Instagram group an Instagram page, and she shared it with her friends, and many people saw it and connected, but she didn't really post a lot of context. So when she created the group, she had 100 followers. So when the way we at WOMI started this business was, I told you, anywhere I go, I see WOMI. Anything I'm chasing, I see her. I'm like, girl, you're here, you know? So we both went for a global youth training organized by the For Us Girls Foundation. Shout out to Amika. And in that training, it was to teach people about social entrepreneurship, which is what we're doing now, right? Doing entrepreneurship to help community.
When you say social entrepreneurship, is it like, you know, with entrepreneurs, like, you know, having a community, or
so it's entrepreneurship, but it's not for profit.
Okay.
So they call us social entrepreneurs.
I see.
Yeah. So in that program, we were supposed to identify a problem and prefer a solution, and we had like a pitch, right? And I pitched Women in Economics.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you have to edit this part out.
Sorry, that's me.
Second alarm. What if this was not recording?
It was. Let's get back to it. Sorry for the interruption.
So we met during that event. So I did present WOM Economics. Then it was Women in Economics, right, as an idea. And she reached out to me and said, Tonya, I have the same idea.
Yeah.
I have the same idea. And I was like, wow, if you, and this was in 2020. I was like, wow, you have this, like, yes, I haven't created a page already. We have 100 followers, you know. So she already created that Instagram page and started building our organic followers.
Yeah.
You know, so now that we created a company, what I'm personally doing is I share that page with all my network, right?
Okay.
I go out for events, meet people, and encourage them to follow the page. So I post on Instagram, LinkedIn, and actively tell people to follow the page. So that's how we're growing it. So we're utilizing our networks, and there are many people following the page I don't even know.
Okay.
Because they saw it and they connect with that vision. So there's an organic growth, and there's also like a promotion that we're doing. And we believe that the more we do events, the more people come. So next step for us is we're actually going to be launching our first virtual events for the month.
Yeah.
So we already have...
For this month?
Yes, for this month. Yes, I'm very excited.
Very soon.
I know. We're going to be bringing a seasoned economist to come talk to us about her journey.
Okay.
You know, challenges in the industry as being a woman in the industry and the kind of work and analysis she does.
Okay.
Right? So we hope that that event would really bring more people to the community, and moving forward we want to create, hopefully have more in-person events where people can come and talk in the community. There are people who are experienced and people who don't have much experience, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we're trying to get the experienced people to come support and get students and young professionals to also join so that we have a harmony and balance.
So I want to so something you can help, you know, if there's anyone like in economics
or related field, and anthropology, political science,
it's actuarial in there,
actuarial as well. It's, yeah,
okay. Yeah. I want to know, like, can you, you know, list out some career paths that you've seen like
as an economist?
Yeah.
So there are a couple of things you can do. I will start with core economics. So if you did economics and you want to work as an economist, you can work in the government as a policy advisor.
Okay.
You can work in banks as a bank economist. So bank economists, they do a lot of economic research in terms of, like, they analyze different markets, housing markets. I know for Scotiabank, we have provincial economics, so they look at different provinces and analyze that.
Okay.
People do gender equality writings as well. So there's bank economics. Some people do core macroeconomic research, like unemployment rates, inflation rate, comment on those things. So you can do that. You can also work in economic consulting, the Big Fours, EY, KPMG, Deloitte, Accenture. They all have economic consultants where companies reach out to them to provide economic guidance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe how they can just really support, like, maybe policies, even sometimes interpretation of policies, because some businesses don't understand, like, what does this policy mean? So they hire those economic consulting firms to do those kinds of analysis for them. Economists, core economists, also work in different organizations. For example, in real estate companies, they are economic research reports, right? You can do that. So in each industry, some big companies have economists that help to analyze what's happening in the industry, analyze what's happening, you know, in different sectors and how they can beat the market in that case. So you can really work in those different parts as a core economist. Then in terms of applied economists, I've seen a lot of economists work in credits. That's what I'm doing now, where you're helping businesses. Some economists work in tech, right?
What like in, you know,
in tech, like, so people do a lot of product project management, product management. I've seen people who do, like Dumila, she does
user experience,
you know. So it's a good found. I have someone in RBC, or where she does product management. I think my co-founder also does something similar. So here you're trying to, like, organize a team, you're trying to help make a product, you're supporting that product development. An economist is good for that because you understand how to interpret data. You're looking at what consumers want. You're interpreting it and using it to define your product.
Even scarce resources, because you are dealing with, you know, you're trying to build a team, people, there's the capital they give you. What else again is there?
Even the quality of the product
So you're trying to put all that together. It seems like
some economists also work in consulting. They do strategy consulting, you know, helping a business increase revenue, reduce costs. I see a lot of economists also go into not-for-profits, right?
Okay.
People are passionate about climate change, so you see them working, helping with research.
Oh, yeah.
You can do anything as an economist. Oh, you can really do anything.
Yeah.
But I do think the core skills
mm-hmm.
that you have as an economist that makes you stand out is analytical skills. So stay informed, read the news, know what's going on, so that you can be able to advise on making informed decisions, right? And I also think communication is very important, because right now, if you look at bank reports,
mm-hmm.
for example, if you open, because I read a lot of RBC economic reports.
It's too technical.
No,
so you have to.
No, it's not too technical.
Okay.
So they make it so simple, so people can understand.
That's so you do some of that, like you take all these technical things
and you break it down into simple English, so that people like Nifemi can understand what's going on. So I know I follow RBC Economics, and if you read their report, they just put like 3 bullet points of the main things, and
mm-hmm.
then the rest is graphs. So if you don't want to read that, that's fine, but
you know three different things.
So as economists, you really need to work on your economic writing, make sure it's something digestible.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, interpret the data, but the way you communicate it should be, you know, captivating but still simple to understand. And the last skill I would say as an economist that you would need to have is, I do think economists should really understand financial markets, because those things impact the economy a lot. So understanding financial markets, how they work, what's going on in stock markets, you know, what's going on with banks, you know, kind of really understanding those. But I know some people, I'm not in finance. That's not finance. That's just you understanding things that affect the economy.
Yeah.
So you can be able to advise on that. Like Nifemi is blowing me questions down on things that I'm like, but I know, because I stay informed what's going on in the economy, so I can comment on those things. So you have to be very curious.
So on that now, there are all these professional exams that people can take.
Yes.
You know, like for, there's like CPA for
accounting.
Yeah. There's CFA
for finance.
For finance.
Yeah.
What are some
exams?
And you've written some in the past.
I did not pass. I did not pass, so let's keep that to the side. But
okay,
so for economics, we do not have any exam.
Okay.
Thank God. Okay. So, but I understand that.
How do you show you need
to have a master's in economics
to be called
an economist. That's the standard. That's your standard. So if you have a bachelor's in economics, they just say, okay, you studied economics.
Yeah.
But if you have a master's, you've specialized as an economist. And I encourage people that are doing their master's, choose a specialization. Like for me, I specialize in financial and industrial economics.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask me, Tony, what kind of economist are you? I will tell you I'm a financial economist.
Okay.
Because that's what I specialized in. I did like financial economics, auctions and markets.
Yeah.
I did obviously the normal micro, macro. I did industrial economics. So that helps me to really understand the financial sector.
Yeah.
So as an economist, we don't have exams, but I would say I've seen a lot of economist roles now. They're asking for CFA. They'll tell you it's preferred. Why? Because in the CFA program, there's an economics part.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So if you're looking at doing an exam, you can consider the CFA. You can consider, for me, I'm in risk management, right? I've been looking into FRM, which is the financial risk manager certification. There's also PRM, professional risk manager. There's CPA if you want to do accounting. Maybe that's your passion, as your calling. But I know economists and accounting, we always have problems. We're always who's better I can be a professional. Well, if I do my master's in economics, I'm an economist. But if you're interested in accounting, that's your passion, your calling, then you can consider the CPA. This is in Canada, Nigeria, ACCA.
ICANN.
If you're interested in tech, there's Scrum Master, there's project management. So you can do anything you want, but just make sure it's right for you. Like for me now, I'm struggling between, should I do a certification or should I do my PhD? My mama wants me to do my PhD because she wants me to be a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that I know down the line I would like to. And even with Womb Economics, I feel like I want to really go back to that economics field, like the university. So that might be a good option, but you can also consider doing your PhD in economics and releasing your reports, speaking in conferences.
Oh,
that makes you a professional that makes you distinct if you do want to stay in the economics field. Yeah. I wanted to add this because this just came into my mind. Yeah. Okonjo-Iweala, she's my model. She's the one I look up to. And she does her PhD. She has her PhD in economics, right? So, and now she's what, the DG for the World Trade Organization.
Yeah.
So, but I like that she worked in the World Bank, right? She got the appointment in Nigeria, came back to be the finance minister, and she started her own consulting firm where people were consulting. And there's something called NOI polls.
Okay.
So she does polls. Different polls in different African countries, I believe, and then recommends policies and things for them. So as an economist, you can have your own consulting company, but you have to brand yourself well, right? So I think that's something I would do in the nearest future. Mm-hmm. So maybe a PhD might be something I'll do. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it.
So speaking about this, you know, bachelor's, master's, PhD, it reminds me of my dad. So fun fact, my dad is an economist. And,
really?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me this.
So he's an economist, and I remember, you know, even way back then, after he did bachelor's, he went to go and do master's, and I'm like, because it's now that, like, you know, master's is really a thing, like, but then he did it, like, immediately after.
Okay.
Like, almost immediately after he did bachelor's. I wasn't born, so, like, you know, all these are stories, but and he did it immediately after, so it makes sense now, because, like, I think it has been established, even not just now, but since, that if you do a master's, then you're an economist. Yeah. Now he's a doctor. But after doing, like, you know, practicing economics for like maybe like 30 years or so or something. That's good. Now I want to, you spoke about NOI polls.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to key into something that around like womb economics. For women economics, like, you know, over time, I'm going to build like a platform and like a structure. What kind of something similar to that kind of like service that NOI is like providing?
Yeah.
What kind of services or like provide? Or like consultation that
can we create?
We
do have three main goals for women economics. First was to inspire career curiosity.
Okay.
That is by doing the podcast, getting people to talk about what they do, and helping people make those career decisions. The second is skill building.
Okay.
Right? So we notice that all the diner economists, we know diner, MATLAB, and all these things we do, Python, all those things that we learn in school people use Excel in the real world, okay? Nobody's gonna ask you, only if you're doing a core economics function, then you use eViews, data. Even our central bank used to use eViews, you know. Nobody's gonna ask you to be doing dynamics. Nobody's gonna ask you to do that because there are software for you, just put in the numbers and it works, right? So we're trying to teach people, we're looking at having skill building,
the core
things that are relevant in the markets. So people know, right? So when you go out and pitch yourself, you're more competitive because you have good Excel, you're proficient in Excel, you're proficient in eViews, you're proficient in PowerPoints and things like that. So we're gonna have like a skill building workshops, right? And the last is we're looking at promoting gender diversity in the field. We did some research and we saw that there's really less gender diversity. I think in every 10 economics, like economists, one is a female. It's very low, right? So even in the industry, if you go to an economics floor, you see more males than females, right? So we're trying to really promote gender diversity in that field, right? So in the future, we really see ourselves obviously having those programs to support our members, having workshops, hopefully partner with like LinkedIn and people like that to provide courses and workshops that will help our members, but contributing in research and consulting on helping, we really see ourselves partnering with universities and helping them promote that economics degree.
Okay.
Because we did see that it's a rising interest for students to study economics because it's a good foundation for any other thing that they want to do. So in the future, yes, we do see ourselves in a lot of consulting, educational scholarships for people to study economics. and just really supporting the community. Like, if your university cannot give you those career opportunities that you want, like even providing, partnering with companies to do internships people can see what they do, right? We have someone reach out to us about, she wants, her company is looking for women who are interested in sustainable finance because they don't get any applications for women, know? So partnering with companies to see what their talent needs are and connecting them with talents, because our organization will be like a talent bank, right? Mm-hmm. And they will connect them with organizations to provide internships, job interviews, and things like that.
So that's very good. You know, I like
Thank
that.
You.
Like, you know, so support is like really, it is big. You have to support people, because, you know, even though like we might have like struggled to get our own, support or get your own support, like, you know, not allowing people to like go through that as they come up in their own career. So just, you know, to sort of like wrap up, what I know you've dropped a lot of nuggets, mm-hmm. and dropped a lot of good advice, and even some that I'm going to take. My biggest takeaway that I'm going to take is that seeing like your, you know, scarce resources, approaching your life as like, you know, from an economics point of view, and like looking at time, that time is scarce. How can you properly optimize this? But I want you to, like, you know, for our like viewers, like, what advice, you know, what kind of principles have you used to like guide yourself to make yourself not just productive but also effective in life and in your current office, in your job now?
So there's a quote that I saw one day, and this was in Covenant. You know, we had this total man concept where they teach you all this.
Is it the, doing a final year?
You do it like each year. So they tell Brian all these quotes from Brian, I've forgotten his
Tracy?
Last name. Brian Tracy, all these people. And this quote, I'm not sure if it's from Brian, I don't think it's from Brian, but the quote is, those who will die in the 21st century are those who are not able to learn, unlearn, and relearn.
Okay.
Those who die in the 21st century are those who are not able to learn, unlearn, and relearn. That quote stuck with me because there are many things that you learn growing up, but that is not it. The life is changing. Things are moving. If you cannot learn new things, if you cannot unlearn some bad behaviors or thoughts, and if you cannot relearn new things, you're going to die. When I say die, not natural death, but like your brain, your personality, you have to keep renewing, you know? The Bible says what? You know, God has, you know, we're now new creatures, right? So for me, I always have that sense of, I have to keep relearning. I have to unlearn negativity. I have to unlearn a lot of things. And I have to learn. I have to unlearn nonsense. And I have to relearn good things, right? So this is a quote that I always have in my mind. And I think by volunteering, by talking with people, by going out, meeting people, learning new hobbies, trying new workouts, all these things, they just help me learn. Unlearn and relearn. So that is my advice to everyone. Take a survey of your life. What am I learning this year? I want to learn how to do this. I want to learn how to be a social media. I want to learn how to start a podcast. Good. What am I unlearning? I will unlearn how to stop talking bad about myself. I will learn how to stop devaluing myself. I will learn how to stop chopping breakfast. I will unlearn all this negativity. And then I will relearn how to be confident. I will try therapy. I would, you know, try a new workout. I will try and get into spaces of influence. I will try a new sport. I will try to make valuable friends that will change my mindset on things. I would try and go to church more often, be involved. Like, for me, my goal this year is to read the whole Bible. And I have to say, Tonya, you don't like reading books, so I go read the Bible. You know, I started last year. When I reached the vertical course, I was like, no. What is all this ark building 10 feet? God, please, no. And this year, because I was like, Tonya, you have to read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. I did see that on the YouVersion app, there's a program called Bible Recap. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. So they will give you the Bible, like okay. 3 passages per day. And for me, I'm an audio learner, so I put the Bible in audio. I'm brushing my teeth, I'm listening to the Bible. And after that, there's a recap of those 3 scriptures. So you don't miss anything. I've learned so much about the Israeli culture. I've learned so much about God's character by that. So I found a way to effectively read the Bible and finish it in a year using a platform, because I can't do it on my own.
I see. Oh, that's good. You know, touching on like volunteering, I also have that philosophy to volunteer as much as possible.
I love that.
Volunteering kind of like, you know, it helps you learn, it helps you meet people, because when you volunteer with other people, you are working with them. If you haven't gotten work or you haven't started work at all, like, you learn like work skills from volunteering. You get to meet people, work with people, also people that are organizing these things that you're going to go and volunteer for, because it's you know, it's investment, and you're kind of like signaling to them that you're serious. You can put your mind, your body, and your, you know, your work to,
and you
to
learn something. A lot of soft skills. I don't think people talk about that a lot.
Yeah, like soft skills, communication.
Like from Regina Patches, that was my high school. So shout out to RP girls. I was social prefect.
Oh,
I built. You know when people are talking about you don't feel it. From high school, I started building that character. Because people say, "Oh, why didn't you join your dance group, whatever." You learn soft skills, how to be confident, how to present by volunteering. Yeah. Like for me, I can remember after school, I didn't have a job.
Okay.
I was volunteering. It kept me busy. I joined that program where I met, how I got my job with the bank was going for an event. And I was asking questions. The woman was like, "Tonya, connect with me on LinkedIn." I was like, "I like you. I like your energy. Do you want to join the bank?" I say, "Hey, I invest in this bank. When I came to Canada, this is the bank I invest in. If this bank should crash, my whole life will crash." Like, "Oh my God, your passion are fire." And, you know, we did the interview and I passed and I go into the bank. Yeah. And I've been here now 3 years. So, have an extracurricular. It makes you a whole person. Yeah. If you're looking at trying to go into tech, join tech forums.
Like, that's how you start learning. Go for tech events.
Yeah, like for me now,
volunteer for tech events.
I've started non-for-profit. I don't know anything about non-for-profit, but there are organizations like BFN, right? Black Founders Network. And yesterday I went for an event with Black Ties, Coffee, BPTN. Go see how they are doing it. Connect with people. And people, I think there's a misconception around that people want to help.
Like,
only they are wicked though, but people want to help.
I can especially with referral, like I can refer people, but you know, people don't reach out sometimes. I have to, like, you know, just not
help
you that I can actually refer you.
Don't be scared to reach. I tell people, carry your shame, throw it in the bin. Carry shame, put it in your hand like this, throw it in the bin. Write down your goals, create a strategy on how to get it, and pursue till you recover all.
Love it. That's how we end. That's how we end today. That's how we end on that note. It has been very wonderful chatting with you. I really appreciate you taking your time. You know, it's like an hour plus.
Wow. That was a good conversation.
Yeah, very, very, very good conversation. Yeah. I really appreciate it. So thank you so much. We'll be releasing this on, you know, all platforms, and you can follow us bib.podcast on all, you know, social media platforms. So thank you very much.
Thank you Nifemi. I'm so proud of you. This is an amazing initiative. I'm so proud of you, and I know that this will go far, this will go wide. This is definitely a good platform just to give people information, because knowledge is power. That's what you're doing, and I'm so proud of you. And Womb Economics, happy to partner anytime. You know, let us know, we're happy to partner. Thank you.
Thank you so much. thank you.
Woo! This is so good. Wow.